What's up, guys? For those of you that follow me on Instagram and TikTok, you know that I always keep it real with y'all. I took the MCAT twice. The first time, I scored a 27 on the old exam, and the second time, I scored a 510. Looking back, I wish that I used an affordable online test prep company to help me prepare. For this reason, I decided to reach out to Magoosh MCAT Prep to sponsor this season of Destination Healthcare. Magoosh offers online MCAT prep that's actually affordable and guaranteed to improve your score. For less than $200, you can get a full year of Magoosh, which includes hundreds of content review videos, 3 full-length practice tests, genuinely helpful email support from their team of MCAT tutors, and a 10-point score improvement guaranteed or your money back. Magoosh is offering 20% off for listeners of this podcast. All you have to do is go to magoosh.com/Jake. That's Magoosh, MAGOOSH.com/Jake, and you will save 20%. Welcome to Destination Healthcare, the podcast to learn about your favorite healthcare professionals. They will be sharing with you their advice, their insight, and the lessons that they've learned along their journey. Our guest today is Kojo Sarfo. He is a Ghanaian-American psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, entrepreneur, and writer. He graduated from the University of West Alabama with his associate's degree in nursing and then obtained his bachelor's in nursing from Western Governors University. He went on to obtain his doctorate in nursing practice degree from Augusta University with a specialty in psychiatry. He has 3 years of teaching experience as an adjunct faculty professor with the College of Nursing at his alma mater, Augusta University. He has a passion for treating and caring for persons with severe mental health conditions. He is also the CEO and co-founder of Abernty and Signora LLC, which is a clothing company dedicated to spreading positivity and mental health awareness for teenagers and college students. Welcome, Kojo.
Hey, Jake. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate you.
Of course. So I want to learn, you know, all about you, but let's just start from the beginning. So where did you grow up and what was your childhood like?
I was born in Ghana. It's a small country in West Africa, but I spent my formative years in Norway. So that's a Scandinavian country in wow. Europe. And when I was about 5.5, 6 years old, we moved to Nashville, Tennessee. So I spent, you know, my childhood in a lot of different places, but mainly it was between Norway and Nashville, Tennessee.
Interesting. So how long did you live in Norway for?
Lived in Norway from early 93 to like 1999. So about 5.5, 6 years. When I think of my childhood, I think of Norway and, you know, preschool and the years before that. You know, like my earliest memories are go back to Norway. I don't remember Ghana mm-hmm. at all. You know, you remember how life was when you were a kid, but I'm talking about like a few months to like a year. So my earliest memories are, you know, me and my family, you know, just enjoying life in Norway.
And what was it like coming from Norway to then America and Tennessee?
It was a drastic change because, you know, Norway was an it still is one of the safest countries, like if you rank the countries that are the safest to the countries that are kind of, middle of the pack, Norway is one of the safest countries, on the planet. And in the United States, relatively, we do a good job. I know there's a lot of, you know, school shootings and things like that, but the United States is still a relatively safe country when you stack it up with other, third world countries. But it was very family oriented in Norway. We're very close to the community. Mm-hmm. And when we moved to Nashville, we moved to Section 8 housing. So it was like a 180. You know, mm-hmm. we couldn't spend as much time outside. And my parents became a lot more anxious when they were raising us.
So you grew up in Section 8 housing in Tennessee. What was that like?
As a kid, you really don't know. You really don't know when your parents are behind on bills. You're just kind of having fun. So it was for me. I enjoyed just having that experience coming from humble beginnings, and it taught me empathy. You know, I got to see how people are. At the bottom, and you know, I still think about those times today, and I try and I try and think about how life is for some people, even now that I'm practicing as a clinician, because some people are not really worried about medications or they're not worried about, their treatment. Like when they get discharged from the hospital, they're worried about where the next meal is going to come from. So I know what that type of feeling is like.
Yeah, I'm sure you can absolutely relate to those patients.
Right.
Could you walk us through when you decided to pursue nursing?
Yeah. So, I mean, the type of student I was a high school student that I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And I wasn't motivated to do anything in particular. My dad, he told me that, you know, healthcare is a great, you know, way to find purpose and, you know, to give back. And he told me about nursing, that you can go to nursing school, you know, and you could finish relatively early. And he told me that if I go and I get an RN degree and I don't want to go to school anymore, I'll still be able to take care of myself financially and help out people. So I was 17 years old. I was sitting in the back of my dad's car, and he suggested for me to do nursing, and I didn't have any other options that I felt like, you know, I could pursue and, you know, give back at the same time. So I decided to go the nursing route, and then, you know, one thing led to another.
And so, correct me if I'm wrong, but you got your associate's degree, then your bachelor's, then your doctorate in nursing practice.
Right.
What is that, for those that are not familiar with the nursing track, can you give us a little more information about what that looks like?
Yeah, so traditionally, people who become nurses, they go the bachelor's of science in nursing route, which is a four-year degree, right? And you get your bachelor's of science in nursing. And after you get that four-year degree, you can do anything. You can, you know, you can go back to nurse practitioner school, and then you can get your master's, or you can get your doctorate within that path. You can get your PhD within nursing. You can pursue, you can go to PA school, you can go to medical school. You can do so much. So that bachelor's of science degree in nursing opens up so much. But for me, I got my associate degree first. So that was a 2-year nursing degree. But before that, I did a year's worth of the prerequisites, like anatomy and physiology, and, you know, like the standard bio, you know, the standard math. And it was those prereqs, you know, that I did for a year that enabled me to get into the associate's degree program. And then from there, you know, I got my bachelor's online at a school called Western Governors University in Utah. Mm-hmm. And then after that, that's when I went back for the DNP degree. And it's funny because up until like maybe 6 months before I applied for DNP school, I had no idea what the DNP track was. So that was quite interesting.
Hmm. So along the way, in something I like to do in this podcast is to talk to people about any sort of roadblocks that they hit along right. their way to becoming a PA, a doctor, a nurse, a PT, et cetera.
Right.
Were there any roadblocks that you hit along your journey?
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of roadblocks. You know, high school, I failed multiple classes, so I didn't have a competitive GPA to really go to the school that I wanted to go to. So I wanted to go to Georgia Tech, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have the GPA for that. And then I was like, I don't know if I want to be an engineer. And then I applied to UGA, you know, that's your school. I didn't get into UGA either. I was like, what's going on? And then I was applying to schools out of state. I applied to LSU, I didn't get in. Florida State, I didn't get in. Mm-hmm. So I had a GPA, it was like 2.6, 2.7. It was competitive to get me into any school that I wanted to go to in Georgia. And obviously, in Georgia, you know, we have the Hope Scholarship. If your GPA mm-hmm. is above a certain number, you can, you know, go to school and you'd have your tuition covered, and you'd have, you know, like your books covered. But I wasn't eligible for any of that. So having to start all over, you know, was my first obstacle. And just having to go and take loans was also an obstacle. My parents let me know from the jump when I started college that they were not going to be able to financially assist me in any way in terms of tuition. So I had to go and I had to take out loans. But that turned out to be a blessing for me because it kind of, you know, gave me that, like, in a wake-up call, like, all right, Kojo, it's time for you to take care of you know, things. And mm-hmm. Even when I was in school, you know, I didn't have dependable transportation. The cars that I was driving, you know, were really bad. And I had to borrow my mom's best friend's car from my last year of nursing school. It's like a little pink Mitsubishi Galant. So yeah, a lot of financial stressors and also, you know, a lot of academic setbacks that kind of gave me the motivation that I needed to do well as I got further into my program.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. You have this really cool quote on your website that I want to read that sort of, yeah. So I believe that my personal lowlights can be used to inspire someone else's, to inspire someone else navigating through their own difficulties, your personal okay. lowlights. Would you consider these your personal lowlights?
Oh, for sure. And that's why I share my story, because a lot of people, you know, they'll look at my journey and say, oh, wow, how did you graduate nursing school at 20? You know, how did you then get two more degrees? You know, how did you become a psychiatric nurse practitioner? And all this good stuff. And I see that a lot of people will get to, you know, my position, or they'll get to like the top, you know, in their respective profession. So maybe they'll become a PA and they're successful, or they become a physician and they're super successful. And you look at them and you'll be like, wow, this person is very successful. How did they get there? And then you ask them and they'll say, well, I just worked hard, blah, blah, blah. And then you think to yourself, okay, all right, if I just work hard, I'll get there. And I guess this person didn't go through adversity. But I wanted to be real and transparent and paint a picture and let people know that it's not going to be like the path to success is not as linear as you think it is. But literally, if you believe in yourself and if you're self-aware enough to put yourself in positions to where you're going to succeed, you can achieve anything. So that's even outside of like the medical field. If you want to be like the best in photography or engineering, like you can use the same principles to go and achieve your dreams with that.
I love that. I'm a huge proponent of that too. Some of the things I talk about on my account is that I have been denied from 25 medical schools before I got in. It took me 2 years to get in. I took the MCAT twice. I took the ACT three times. I took the ACT, didn't even do good enough to put it on my application. Like, I have been through it. And I think so many people sort of hide any sort of failures or lowlights that they've had to maintain this image. Mm-hmm. But I think more and more people are opening up about failures that they've had, because in my opinion, failures are paramount to get to success.
Right.
So I love that you are also vulnerable and show that it's not all, you know, easy. You didn't get here 4-0 over and over again. You know, there were roadblocks.
Right. And just, you know, to double down on what you said about all the different, you know, things that you have to overcome to get to where you are. I think it's so powerful that you're sharing your story, because a lot of people, you know, think that, you know, being in a professional career, especially like medical school, use medical school, for example, people associate being in medical school with, you know, being in your 20s or your 30s, you can't pursue it in your 40s. But I mean, when I was working as an RN, you know, in the ICU, I worked with some residents who were in their 40s. Like, they went back to school late in life to pursue a medical degree because that was their passion. So a lot of people will not see that unless they're working with somebody. But there's so many people out here who have struggled and they're following their passions. But if you don't come in contact with a Jake or somebody who is doing that, you won't think it's possible, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep, agreed. And that's my mission with this entire account, with this podcast, with everything that I'm doing, is to show the person that's out there struggling right now, thinking, am I not smart enough? You know, did I fail too many times? Can I not do this? You can do it. If you're listening and you're struggling with an exam or a barrier that's preventing you from getting to where you want, Kojo, myself, and there are hundreds, thousands of others proving that you can do it. If you just continue striving and believing in yourself, those obstacles will become something that you can talk about in the future and say, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, that sucks. That time sucks, but keep your head up and keep grinding.
Right.
So I would love to talk about how you sort of got into the mental health world.
Okay. Yeah. So I tell people that I got into mental health on accident, and I stay on purpose. So, you know, I got my, like I said, I got my associate's degree in nursing, and I started working. And to be honest, I really wanted to go into anesthesia, nurse anesthesia, because I'm just being honest, because they made the most money. Like, I saw that they're making over $200,000 a year. So I was like, okay, I want to work in anesthesia because I worked in the ICU. So that was like the most linear path to take, right? Because if you're a registered nurse working in the ICU, you're doing things like you're monitoring arterial lines, you're pushing propofol, you know, all these sedatives. So it's kind of like you're on that path to doing the anesthesia thing. So I was like, I want to do this because it just makes sense. And all my coworkers are doing this and they're going to nurse anesthesia school and they're making great money. So I was like, I want to do this. And then my dad, I was living in Macon, Georgia at the time. My dad convinced me to move to Augusta, Georgia to be with the family. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned the psych hospital there that would help me pay for me to go back to school to get my bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. And I knew that if I wanted a shot at getting my master's, you know, whether that was in nurse anesthesia or whether being a nurse practitioner or the doctorate, I needed that bachelor's degree first. I didn't have that. So I decided to move to Augusta and I took a job at the psychiatric hospital because I wanted them to help me pay for my schooling. And they ended up not paying for my schooling because I went to an out-of-state school in Utah for the bachelor's portion online. And when I got to the psychiatric hospital and I saw how that world was, that really changed my mind. Like, I had never seen a world like that. And then you walk into a psych unit, there's people there having fun with other peers, just laughing and watching TV. And then you can talk to somebody who is like actively hallucinating. And then like you turn to your right and you have somebody who's catatonic. And then you have somebody who is like manic. It was like a whole new world. I'd never seen nothing like it. And then I would, you know, I would watch the psychiatrists and how they lived their life, like the day to day. And I was like, okay, so I can be a psychiatrist. And then I watched and then we had PAs. I was like, okay, so I can do the PA route. Then we had psychiatric nurse practitioners. I'm like, okay, so there's so many different options within psychiatry. I did not know that this was like this. So once I started working at the psych hospital, I saw how things work. And I just asked questions. I became friends with as many people as possible, you know, kind of like what we do now, talking and interacting. I talked to psych nurse practitioners, I talked to psychiatrists, and I just wanted to get their feedback on the, you know, their work-life balance and how they enjoy their life. And as they spoke about their job and as I watched how they interacted with the patients, I was like, all right, I want to do something like this. So that kind of gave me like the idea, and then I started to go towards that.
Very cool. And that's something I want the listener to know is that there are so many fields in mental health. I actually just did back-to-back TikTok videos about this.
I saw that. I liked it.
You liked it? Yeah, that's right. You did. So I shouted out Kojo on one of those. Psych NP, psych nurse, psych PA, psychiatrist, licensed social worker, mental health counselor, therapist. I mean, guys, it goes on and on. You can be involved in so many different ways in the mental health field.
Yeah, and people are not aware of all those different options. So, like literally, I think that the lane that we're in, and especially with you, like, focusing on the careers, like, that's such an important lane because people want to know, okay, how do I prescribe? And then they know, okay, be the PA, NP, or the physician route, you know? And then some people don't know the difference between the MD and the DO, and they don't know, like, there's so much that they don't know. So I really think that, like, especially, you know, like on TikTok, the demographic is so young that you're literally teaching them something that they would not learn, like, maybe for like 4 or 5 more years unless they start to, like, know somebody in that field. So I think that's awesome.
Right. Thank you. And let's talk about TikTok because that's actually one of the questions I had. So the first time I ever met Kojo or ever saw Kojo was day one that I downloaded my TikTok account, which was about three and a half months ago. I downloaded TikTok. I was like, what's this thing about? You were on my For You page, which, by the way, guys, if you don't know the For You page, it's basically a curated home screen where the app's algorithm is so good that it knows what, you know, who you are, what kind of stuff you like. And so Kojo's video popped up early on, and I had been seeing a lot of, you know, trending dances and funny stuff, and I was like, okay, I see what this is, like a Vine. But then I saw Kojo's video. I can't even remember what it was at this point. It was just a very inspirational video that was real and authentic, and I was like, huh. There's something here. Like, this is a healthcare professional that's sharing his advice and insight and lessons with millions of people and doing it in such a real way. That's when you were like the catalyst. Where I was like, huh, I'm gonna give this thing a shot.
Appreciate that.
Of course. So can you just tell us, you know, why you got into TikTok, when you got into TikTok, and what TikTok has been like for you?
Yeah, so honestly, so, you know, I'm from Augusta, Georgia. I went to school there. I was teaching for 2.5-3 years, teaching the nursing students the mental health class. And I would take students to the hospital for clinicals. And I graduated from Augusta University, and I wanted to stay in Augusta and work at that psych hospital. And everything was literally set up for me to work at that hospital. I had trained with the psychiatrists that I used to work for, you know, because once they figured out that I was going to school for my psych NP, they're like, oh, we would love for you to be a part of our team. Mm-hmm. So I trained with them. So everything was lining up for me to work at that hospital. In fact, I wanted to work like for my preceptor because like I respected the work that he did. And I said, all right, the best way for me to become a good clinician is to work for the person I admire the most. So let me go work for the doctor that trained me, and that made me the best clinician. And it just, the way things worked out at that time when I applied, when I passed my boards and I became board certified, they didn't have any openings at the hospital. So I was like, dang. So I was literally playing a PlayStation at home, and I got a call from my recruiter. And he was like, hey, if you would like to work the same type of job in Virginia, it's going to be locums. If you would like to work that same type of job in a forensic environment, still mental health, you know, we can get you out to Williamsburg, Virginia, and we can get you the same type of job. So I was like, sure, I'll do it. So I came to Virginia and I started working, you know, locums, a psychiatric nurse practitioner. And I had so much free time, like after I get off of work. And I'm like, I gotta do something, because my day to day, I would get to the hospital really early. I would listen to like psychiatry podcasts, and actually a psychiatrist on TikTok, Dr. David Pewter, mm-hmm. his podcast I would listen to.
Psychiatry and psychotherapy?
Exactly, yeah. I would listen to that podcast, work out a little bit, get to the hospital, and then I would, you know, do my day-to-day. Anytime I came across like an interesting case, I would like write it down, and then I would text my preceptor about it. So I'd be trying to learn, and I was doing all this, and I'm like, I still have free time at the end of the day. So like 7 p.m., 8 p.m., I had nothing to do. And my younger brothers had convinced me to download TikTok. And I nearly deleted it, because my first TikTok, I was trying to promote my book, but I didn't realize that you have to speak the language on the platform. So like in December of last year, I started to like watch more of TikTok, and I said, okay, this thing is really cool. And I started to see healthcare professionals talk about their journey. So my brother was like, hey, just tell them what you do. Tell them about how you got to you got through nursing school. Talk about the DNP degree. And he was like, people don't know the difference between the DNP and the physician. And they don't know that the DNP is not a physician, but it's a doctor degree. And then he went to school for 3 years. And I was like, yo, you're right. Because people would ask these questions when I started making the videos. I'm like, oh, I have a lane here. And I realized that just being authentic and being my most, you know, true self, I can answer questions. And if I didn't know the answer, I could point them to somebody else in the app, because the app has physicians, has PAs, they mm-hmm. got surgeons, they have engineers, like anybody is on the app. So I just started to make more videos, and kind of like what you started to do, like when I started to speak my truth, like the followers picked up, and it was crazy. And like everything happened just so fast, you know, 10, 15, 30, 40, 50, you know how.
Yeah, right. And the time of this recording, guys, which is May 10th, 2020, you have over 110,000 followers on TikTok.
Right.
And that guys, is, he said, you know, he's talking about December. He's talking about December of 2019. It's May. It's only been 5 months.
Right. That's so crazy.
That's really how this app works. And right. the growth is massive. So if there's a lane that you're in and you're listening to this and you think, whether you're in the mental health lane or engineering, anything, if you have a lane, now is your opportunity to capitalize on the app with probably the best organic reach out of any app that I've ever seen.
Right.
I'm telling you, you could post 10 videos, one video a day for 10 days. All it takes is one of those videos to skyrocket. Which is, it's possible. It's like playing a lottery. Every right. post has a chance. And all of a sudden, your lane, you start developing it. And, you know, you can do some cool stuff with TikTok. Kojo went out to California, right?
Yeah. It was crazy. Like, I went out to California. I didn't even think it was a real invite. I was sitting there, and then I got the email. I nearly overlooked it, but my assistant flagged it. I was like, all right, cool. And it said, we'd like to fly you out to California and pay for everything so you could be a part of this TikTok event.
This is TikTok emailing you.
Right. And I'm like, this does not make sense. So I looked at the email. I copied the guy who sent out the invite. His name was Kudzi. He's part of the TikTok creative team. So I had to Google his name just to make sure it was real. I didn't want, like, you know, the emails were like phishing for information. Mm-hmm. So I Googled his name, and I saw he had a profile on Instagram. He was verified there. He had a profile on TikTok. He was verified there. He had a profile on LinkedIn. I'm like, all right, this is kind of real. So I put in my information, and then, like, the next morning, I had, like, an American Airlines confirmation, like, to fly me from here to Los Angeles. Wow. They paid for, like, a super fancy hotel. And I was around all these other different creators who were, like, doing their thing in their lane. And I was just honored to be there. And I don't know if you know Dr. Dr. Patton. He's an anesthesiology resident.
What was his name?
Doc JP3.
Oh, yeah. I love that guy. Yeah. He is awesome. He's some of the best content around.
He was supposed to be there, too, but I think he had it was like a weekend retreat where, like,
for anesthesiologists,
residents couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. So I was looking forward to meeting him. I was just blessed to be around all these different creators who were just doing their thing. It was fantastic. And that moment in the middle of February, it made me really feel like, all right, TikTok believes in creators, mm-hmm. and they just want you to educate the public. And, you know, at that time I had, 34,000 followers when they invited me out. So that goes to show that it doesn't, like, matter how many followers you have, like, they're watching you individually, because, mm-hmm. like, I got to the airport at LAX, and then they sent, like, this fancy Cadillac to pick us up. And then the guy sitting next to me, right, Dominique Toliver, you know, he puts out content, more comedy related. He and his girl put out content, and they're based in LA, but they're from Houston. So he had 8.8 million followers, and I had 35,000. So we're in the Cadillac, and then he's like, yo, your content is good. Just keep going. And I'm like, I only got 35,000. I don't know why they invited me. I was like,
imposter syndrome.
Like a random black guy. And he was like, no, the platform believes in you as a creator. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing that. It's working. And I've done that, and then like it's working. So I'm very excited about TikTok as an educational platform.
So cool, so cool. So I'm gonna wrap it up here with a final question for you. Sure. What advice would you have for someone that is really struggling right now, maybe lost in their life, experiencing failure, or just sort of not? Just wondering if their career path is right for them. In short, what would you say to someone that is really struggling and lost, just like I have been in the past and just like you have been in the past?
I would say, I mean, for someone who's really struggling out there, and, you know, they're at the point of giving up, they're not sure if, you know, different, like, educational paths and collegiate, you know, fields are for them. I would say, number one, don't give up hope. And number two, the best thing that you could probably do for yourself is to find somebody who's doing what you want to do and somebody that you can relate to. And, like, online, you can find literally anybody that, like, the person that you want to be, I'm sure you will find that type of person online. Like, there's no need to try and reinvent the wheel. Like, there's already somebody who's doing what you're doing, so you can just do it your own way. So if that person wants to be, a chemist or engineer, find somebody who's doing that on YouTube, whether it's through vlogs or whatever, and try and become that person's friend. Like, mm-hmm. you know, align yourself with them on that path and learn everything about them. You know, if you want to go the nursing route, nursing's so diverse. Find somebody within nursing who you look up to, that you admire, and you want to do what they're doing, and ask them questions. And if this is somebody who, if you want to go to medical school, you find Jake or Farhan, who's also putting out great content, find, like, somebody like you, reach out to you, try and become your best buddy, and then try and mirror themselves after you, you know, or like, it, and plus, I mean, medicine is so diverse itself. So like, it could go a million different ways, but to find that person who you look up to and learn everything about them. And if somebody learns everything about you and they figure out, oh, wow, I didn't know Dr. Goodman was rejected all these times and he finally got to medical school, they're going to see themselves in you. And then they're going to be inspired and they'll know that, okay, I just have to keep going. I can never give up because this is what my mentor, Dr. Goodman, did. And this is where he is now. And it's going to give them the motivation that they need, because some days you're going to get down and you're going to have those voices inside your head telling you, okay, you're not good enough for this. You're not cut out for this. And then it's going to prevent you from advancing to the next step. So I would literally say, find the person who you want to be like, and just align yourself with their path and realize that that person failed so many times on the way to becoming who they are now.
Mm-hmm. Well said. I couldn't have said it any better myself. All right. So we are going to end the podcast here. I want you guys to follow Kojo on TikTok and Instagram. What else, Kojo?
So it's mainly TikTok, Instagram. I do put out some content on LinkedIn as well and Twitter. So Kojo Sarfo on all those different platforms. But mainly right now where I'm putting the majority of my content is obviously TikTok and Instagram. So once I figure out the other platforms, I'll do that more. But right now, TikTok is kind of like, you know, that's a brand moment.
I'm with you. So, all right, guys, thanks so much for joining in, and we will see you on the next episode of Destination Healthcare. Just as a reminder, today's episode is sponsored by Magoosh MCAT Prep. If you are preparing to take the MCAT, you have to check out Magoosh. Magoosh is super affordable and has a 10-point score improvement guaranteed or your money back. I wish that I had used something like this when I was studying for this horrible exam. Magoosh is offering 20% off for listeners of this podcast. All you have to do is go to magoosh.com/Jake. That's Magoosh, MAGOOSH.com/Jake, and you will save 20%. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Destination Healthcare. If you made it this far, then hopefully you enjoyed it. If you haven't already, please consider clicking that subscribe button. If you particularly enjoyed today's episode, I'd love to receive a rating and a review from you. Unless you hated it, then maybe don't do that at all. See you guys next week.